And I think that's a nice segue to verse 6, because in recognizing that God is in this, when we ask for wisdom from God, it says in verse 6, but, and I want us to focus on that word but. So we ask in wisdom. We say, you know, God, I recognize I lack wisdom. I'm in the midst of this trial, this testing, and I don't know what to do. Give me wisdom. And the moment I say that, God's testing the heart. He looks at the heart to see if there's a but there. Because James is saying, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Have you ever asked for something without confidence in the fact that as to whether you'll receive it or not? That's what this in faith means. It means that you have confidence that if you ask of God for wisdom, that he is going to give it liberally. He's not going to say, you should have known that. But he's going to give you the necessary wisdom to meet that testing with patience. Mm-hmm. But very often, I think what we do is this. We hedge. We say, I'm going to ask God to help me, but then I'm going to go try to help myself. Isn't it the world that says God helps those that help themselves?
Yeah.
I think that goes contrary to these verses. God says, ask of me, and I'll give you wisdom. But let it be a true asking in true confidence that which you have asked, God will give liberally. He'll give enough and more so that you can deal with the test of your faith, so that the end result, as you say here, is that you have a man or a woman in Christ that has endured the testing, the trial, and he comes out victorious, having overcome or having risen or accomplished that trial in his life. And at the end of it all, there is this reward, even the crown of life, to him that endured. It is difficult, young people. There's no roadmap. That's why we ask of wisdom, because we need fresh wisdom for each trial we go through.
And it's important, because the but, let him ask in faith, is the very area where I'm liable to fail. That's why God has addressed it. God does not address things that we're not likely to fail in. This is the living word, and this is the area where I'm likely to fail. Our brother brought Philippians before us. Why did that believer in Philippians have the peace of God that passed all understanding? The only one reason I can tell you from Scripture. Because he had prayed. He had put it in the hands of the living God. And that was the reason. He had peace that passeth all understanding. I am very likely, naturally speaking, to do what Tony said. I come to the Lord, I say, Lord, give me wisdom. And I'm in that difficult time where the path is not clear. And the world comes up, and they offer their alternatives. Yeah. Now, this is a strong verse. These couple verses are. A word picture is set before us. It's as though we're sitting here, and the Lord immediately translates us to the ocean. And all of a sudden, we see, we don't see the wind, but we see the effect of the wind driving the waters in. We were in Nova Scotia this last year, and we were there right after the big storm hit at Peggy's Cove, I think the name of the place was. And what an awesome sight. As we saw the waves smashing against the rocks, you see, he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. You say, well, God must be trying to get my attention. Absolutely. This is a strong picture that is shown to us. And then he says a warning in verse 7. After speaking about all that would be given to man, he gives me the assurance that there is a man that will receive nothing from the Lord. It's pretty striking, isn't it? For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You think the Lord wants to get our attention by such a verse as that? This man that is double-minded, he won't get wisdom. He won't get help. She won't get understanding. She will get nothing from the Lord if he or she has approached the Lord and then turns around and begins in the middle of waiting to walk by sight and by our own reasoning.
Just get a little help here, though, because that's all fine and well, but at the beginning of the verse it says, let him ask in faith. And in verse 2, our faith is the thing that's being tested. So maybe a little bit of help on how we get strength in the very thing that's being tested. Just kind of adds a little complication.
How do we get saved?
Through faith from him.
How do we walk?
By faith.
There is no other way. I mean, this is what strikingly is set before us. That if Christ saved me by faith, there is only one way I will enjoy his blessing in my life. And that is, I will walk by faith. And I don't know what our other brethren think. I think this is a strong warning to those of us that belong to the Lord. I used to kind of think that the double-minded man was a man that was just linked with the world. That's not the link this verse has. The double-minded man is the man that asks for wisdom and then turns to other sources for help. That's what he is. Is that right? You agree with that, John, in its context here? He has asked the Lord for wisdom, and the answer perhaps has not come immediately, and he's begun to turn to other areas for help in the pathway that is before him. And Scripture says it's strong. A double-minded man.